Welcome to this lecture on digital service architecture. As we live in a highly digitalized world, we know that digital services today are complex, connected, and dynamic. They utilize data and evolve continuously to meet user needs. From online banking and e-commerce platforms to streaming services and smart applications, digital services must be designed in a way that ensures flexibility, scalability, and efficiency. To achieve this, we rely on structured architectures that define how different components interact within the digital services to ensure that services remain adaptable and sustainable over time. Today, we talk about some architecture styles for digital products and services, but what do we mean by digital service architecture? Well, the concept of service architecture is crucial in digital environments where services must accommodate rapid technological advancements and diverse user demands. Digital service architecture is a selected and designed structural foundation for developing digital services. It can allow organizations to develop, for instance, modular, reusable components that can be easily integrated, modified, or expanded for efficiency. In essence, this selected architecture style conveys a highly abstracted conceptual model of the structure and behavior of the digital service, given its design goals and constraints as well. Therefore, the choice of the architecture has an impact on the ways the software is implemented and how its development can be organized within the developing companies. A carefully chosen architectural style will, for instance, help in mitigating technical debt and enhancing software and resource efficiency and quality. In general, this choice on the architecture style must depend on at least the level of complexity of the designed digital solution. As one architecture style, we talk about modularization and modularized services and digital services. As Tuuninen and Kasab highlight, modularization plays a fundamental role in enabling firms to reconfigure their service processes efficiently, enhancing both utility and customer adoption. The structured approach to service development ensures that digital services are not only robust, but also capable of evolving alongside changing market conditions. The modularization of services has been considered to serve three main purposes, any of which may justify expenditures to increase modularity. First, digital services tend to deal with high complexity, and modularity makes this complexity manageable. Modularity enables parallel work and improvement, and modularity creates adaptivity to deal with uncertainty and change. Modularity can also lead to decreased production costs and reduction of complexity. Take, for example, the cross-use of modules between different services like the Reels on Facebook and the same in Instagram, or the Lego blocks as presented on the slide here, for instance. So better customer value and profitability can be achieved by modularity as it allows for using a higher volume of common parts in several different services or service parts, meaning the standardization of service production. Also, replacing modules should be easier when the system architecture is modular. Take, for example, switching between payment processing service providers from one provider, such as Klarna, to another, such as PayTrail. Switching is easy as both are modular suppliers. As we already know, customers are co-creators of the service and the value that emerges. So Tuuninen and Kasab have argued that the value of the service for the customer can be increased if we utilize service process modularization and adopt customized service packages in service design. And for this purpose, the use of modularity in systems architecture offers the basis for customization because modularization decomposes a system or product into these independent module types, where a module type is a grouping of components or objects that share some characteristics with each other. Therefore, standardized interfaces are a prerequisite for effective mixing and matching of these building blocks. And these need to be defined thoroughly in the design of these systems. So a modular approach allows services to be broken down into smaller, independent components that can be combined, replaced, or adapted based on different needs. This concept originates from software engineering, but it has been widely applied in service design to enhance flexibility and reusability as well. As Tuunen and others note, to better understand modular service architecture, we must examine it at three levels: the service module, the service architecture, and the service experience. To start with, the service module can be viewed as the smallest building block in a service system. The decomposition of service modules provides an important basis for the effective composition of customer-specific configurations of these modules. A precisely described module in interface is essential for composing, tailoring, customizing, and personalizing offerings. And the second part, modular service architecture, provides an integration framework for the customization of a service offering and sharing or reuse of service modules between different service offerings. And so it follows that service experience, the third part, is an outcome of the firm's meeting of the user's needs through modularity-enabled customization, personalization, and value creation of the service. So in other words, the idea of service modularization, the service module, service architecture, and service experience concepts, they all build on each other. That means service modules comprise service architecture, which in turn constitute the basis for service experiences from the process viewpoint. And these constructs in the table on the slide could therefore be used as the basis for modular service design. Now let's look at the constructs of these three levels one by one. So at the most fundamental level, we have service modules, the smallest independent components of a digital service. They are essentially the building blocks that can be reused, customized, or replaced to create different service offerings. Commonality of a service module means, in a sense, that the service module is common, variant, or unique. And in that way, the core modules provide commonality and standardization. And the variants and unique modules, they offer variety and diversity in order to meet users' different needs. For example, a payment module used in multiple e-commerce platforms can be common, and therefore it can be applied in several different services. Decomposition means that there are divisions of information, processes, and services in the form of modules, meaning the components, elements, units, and nodes, and all these are independent of other modules. And they each accomplish a certain function and have an interface for integration as well. For example, a food delivery app has modules for ordering, payment, and tracking, which are all independent of each other, and they're still connected through data exchange, for instance. And continuing with the service module constructs, a service module can be reused, and it can be reused as is or with minor revision in a different context, in addition to the original context, of course. For instance, an organization can reuse a chatbot across their different functions. Variation, in turn, means a situation when a new variant is developed from a service module by making a major revision or modification to the module's functionality and the interface. Accordingly, specific services are created using the concept of variation. And finally, substitution means that a service module that is part of a service system can be replaced with another module without changing or disrupting the service. Modularization makes it possible to integrate and disintegrate potential new service components efficiently and effectively, either by sharing modular components internally or by outsourcing modular components to an external supplier. And using modular service components helps companies reduce costs, speed up development, and create personalized experiences while maintaining operational efficiency. Moving up a level, service architecture refers to how different modules interact within a structured system. This is crucial because even the best service modules are ineffective if they don't connect seamlessly within a digital ecosystem. Boundary service architecture is a detailed description of the scope and contracts that comprise the service module within the service architecture and externally with customers and other actors as well. For example, in Spotify, the music streaming module is a separate one from the recommendation engine, and the boundaries define where a module ends and another begins. The composition of a service offering in turn is basically about the customized compilation of service modules, parts, or processes. Netflix, for instance, combines authentication, content streaming, and payment processing modules into a unified experience. Interfaces in turn define how service modules interact and how they sort of interact with and connect with one another. Application programming interfaces, or APIs, for instance, allow different systems to communicate through connections between service modules. And continuing with the service architecture components, modularity can be seen as a means to standardize service production, and thus it can be viewed as a means to achieve better customer value and profitability. Standards, therefore, are rules for organizing internal and external resources, such as service modules. And the infrastructure describes both technical and non-technical requirements to be met for the provision of that service. These include also the information system, such as software, server computers, networks that enable the provision of the service, as well as the user interface that is used. As an example of infrastructures, cloud platforms like Amazon Web Services enable modular computing resources. Finally, here we have the shared and outsourced resources specification, which includes the division of labor and outsourcing of tasks across firms and supply chain variations by sharing modules internally or by outsourcing modules to an external supplier. Overall, a well-designed modular service architecture makes it easier to scale services, improve reliability, and integrate new technologies without disrupting the entire system. And at the final level, service experience refers to how customers interact with and perceive modular digital services. As the first key construct, personalization relates to how a service can be tailored or how users can tailor their services based on their preferences. Personalization can be conducted through new combinations of service modules, enabling the customization of the service to reflect users' real or wished preferences, values, and personality. A good choice would be value-based personalization of the service so that the service could reflect users' real or ideal personality and allowing mix and match combinations of modules. Role perception in turn indicates how customers understand and interact with the modular features. To start with, IT is related to factors such as clarity, motivation, and ability. So the perceived utility of the modular service depends on a customer's role clarity, the specific characteristics of the service, and the outcomes that what they expect to achieve from the service. So these factors that influence the trial decision of service delivery systems basically rely on the customer. So customers with lower role clarity need more convincing of the fact that learning a variation of the known service process is worth their effort, so to say, especially when the new service process involves active participation in the production of the service, so it requires some effort. For instance, when people might be hesitant to start declaring their taxes online when they're always used to do it on paper, there we might see some reluctance related to the new process and sort of the effort that is required. Moving on to the last part of the service experience constructs, we have task complexity, which is essential about how easy or complex it is for users to engage with modular services. A service process can be characterized by low or high level of task variety, technical skills required, and information exchange between the service system and the customer. For example, self-service banking apps can be used to simplify complex financial processes with modular transactions and interfaces. As the final key construct of customer experience, value creation relates to how the modular service enhances customer value. Value creation can be achieved through a systematic combination of service encounter processes known to both the customer and the firm that creates new customizable service packages of increased utility or other type of value. For example, Amazon Prime combines different services, streaming, shipping, and discounts, for instance, into one modular membership experience. When such modularity is well designed, users can feel empowered to customize their experiences, leading to higher satisfaction and better engagement, as noted by Doran and Salo and Lee in their modular digital service design paper. However, designing modular services is not just about structuring service components. It's about ensuring that they're efficient, adaptable, collaborative, and well integrated into these digital ecosystems that we tend to operate in. To achieve this, design principles can be used as guidelines that help create modular services that are scalable, user-friendly, and flexible. According to Doonan and Ansalo and Lee in 2023, there are four categories of design principles for modular services design. Computational design principles that focus on efficiency, simplicity, and performance. Adaptive design principles that ensure usability, trust, and personalization. Collaborative design principles which enhance interaction, communication, and service recovery. And the network design principles that help optimize service availability, transparency, and ongoing improvement. The computational design principles are mostly about making services efficient, structured, and high-performing. Doonan and others consider that designers should apply these principles to ensure that digital services operate smoothly, consistently, and with minimal complexity. The design principle DP9 is about flexible information integration, meaning that modular services should be designed to integrate seamlessly with other services. For example, Google Drive allows third-party apps to access and store files, ensuring smooth information flow. And DP10 is about simple operational processes, implying that digital services should aim to reduce complexity in user interactions. For instance, Uber's simple three-step ride booking process, request, match, and ride ensures operational simplicity. And the paper also introduces DP for service process performance, meaning that modular designs must prioritize speed, reliability, and scalability. As a good example, Netflix's adaptive streaming ensures minimal buffering by dynamically adjusting video quality. And finally, the DP12 highlights quality and consistency, meaning that designers should always aim to deliver a reliable experience across all modules and touch points of the digital service. This was emphasized also in the food and commodity study in last week's materials, where the retailer aimed to provide a unified experience to their customers across channels such as social media and the web store, allowing access to campaigns and information practically through any of these preferred channels. At the level of adaptable design principles, design focuses on enhancing user experiences by making services more customer-centric, personalized, and secure. And these DP's design principles support designers in creating services that are easy to use, that provide flexible security measures, establish trust with users, and allow for personalization, of course. So first, Doonan and Salo and Lee identify usability and customer centricity. Users expect services to be intuitive and services should be easy to navigate. If a service is too difficult to use, it will fail no matter how powerful or feature-rich it could be. The authors emphasize that services should be designed with usability at its core, ensuring that customers can interact with them effortlessly. A great example of this principle in action is Apple's iOS. Whether a user is switching between an iPhone, iPad, or Mac, The interface remains consistent and easy to use. Apple invests heavily in usability testing to ensure that the operating system is as seamless and intuitive as possible. Second, the authors discuss security that adapts to user needs. Security is often seen as something that gets in the way of usability, sort of. But adaptive digital services ensure that security measures are flexible and user-friendly. Modular services should allow users to select security settings that match their preferences and risk tolerance. And as a third, adaptive design principle, Tuominen and others present trust and relationship building. A well-designed digital service establishes trust through transparency, reliability, and meaningful user interactions. Trust-building features such as those are, of course, essential for long-term engagement and customer loyalty. And one effective way to build trust is through user-generated feedback and verification systems. As an example, services like Airbnb and Uber implement ratings, reviews, and identity verification to enhance trust between users. And the fourth and final principle of adaptive design is customization and personalization. Tuominen and others highlighted that modular digital services should allow users to tailor their experiences to fit their specific needs and preferences. Personalization overall can happen at different levels, from simple user settings like changing themes and layouts, to more advanced personalization driven by artificial intelligence, for instance. One of the best examples of adaptive personalization is Spotify's recommendation system, which analyzes listening habits, favorite artists, and past interactions to create personalized playlists for the user. This level of customization enhances user engagement, making the service feel tailored and relevant, and this increases engagement and helps lock users in, of course. Next, Tuominen, Salo, and Lee present the collaborative design principles, which provide digital service designers a critical aspect to ensure services are interactive, responsive, and supportive of user collaboration. Collaborative design principles can be applied to help create digital services that facilitate communication, support information sharing, and provide effective service recovery mechanisms. As the first principle, accessibility and information sharing, the authors imply designers should aim to ensure that users of the service can access the information that they need when they need it, and they need to be also able to share it easily with others. For example, Google Docs, again, allows multiple users to edit the same document in real time, and that ensures that users can collaborate efficiently, eliminating versioning issues and improving workflow continuity. As the second key collaborative design principle, the paper presents interactive and responsive service experiences. Users expect digital services to respond to their actions and provide timely feedback. If a service is unresponsive or lacks interactivity, it creates frustration and disengagement. So digital services should be designed to provide quick and meaningful responses to user inputs, whether through automated feedback mechanisms or human support. For instance, when a customer has a question or concern, an instant response, whether from a chatbot or a customer service agent, it can help enhance trust and improve user satisfaction. Such responsiveness enhances engagement and ensures that users feel supported throughout their service journey. And third, authors present the principle for supporting formal and informal communication anytime, anywhere. And this suggests that services can accommodate both structured interactions, such as business meetings and scheduled support calls, and unstructured conversations, such as casual messaging and peer discussions in general. And finally, the robust service recovery suggests that while no digital service is perfect, and issues, of course, will arise at one point or another, What matters most is how quickly and effectively the service can recover from these failures. Kunnan and others argue that modular digital services should be designed with clear service recovery pathways already designed, or allowing users to resolve issues quickly and efficiently. A strong example of this is Amazon's automated refund module, which ensures that when an order issue occurs, something goes wrong in an order. There could be, for instance, a delayed or damaged product. The customer can initiate a return or refund process with minimal effort. And so altogether, these collaborative design principles are there to ensure that modular digital services can be designed to be accessible, interactive, communicative, and capable of effective service recovery, thereby helping designers to create seamless and engaging user experiences. And then we have network design principles. And these focus on ensuring that modular digital services are scalable, reliable, and continuously improving. Kunnan and Salwan Lee described that network design is critical for large-scale digital services that must operate all the time, 24/7, across multiple regions and support millions of users, for instance. These principles ensure that a service remains stable, flexible, and continuously optimized. Without proper network design, digital services become unreliable, slow, and difficult to maintain. As the first design principle, they propose a easy setup and maintenance, which entails that a well-designed modular digital service should be simple to deploy, manage, and update. Donovan and others emphasize that network design should allow for smooth onboarding of new services, effortless configuration, and minimal manual intervention. Taking measures to innovatively reduce complexity in setup and maintenance, services can scale more effectively. The second key network design principle is constant improvement of service efficiency. And this entails that service designers should ensure that digital services continuously evolve to become faster, more reliable, and more efficient. And this means leveraging data analytics, machine learning, and automation to optimize service performance. For instance, electric vehicle producers like Tesla uses over-the-air updates to incorporate improvements and even new features within the car's functionalities. With this approach, services can learn from user behavior, detect inefficiencies, and implement optimizations automatically, ensuring that the services can remain competitive and adaptive to changing user needs. The third network design principle, service availability and flexibility, reminds service designers of the importance of ensuring constant accessibility, as users expect services to be always on, always available, and able to scale instantly. Accordingly, a well-designed modular digital or technology-enabled service must be able to handle traffic spikes, avoid downtime, and provide a consistent experience across different locations and devices. For example, again, the Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure as well, they offer cloud services that allow businesses to scale their infrastructure dynamically, ensuring that they can handle sudden increases in demand without service disruptions. And finally, the principle of transparent service logic conveys that users and organizations must be able to understand how digital service operates, how decisions are made, and what data is being used. Lack of transparency can lead to trust issues, compliance concerns, and inefficiencies. And so the paper proposes that modular digital services should provide clear documentation, dashboards, and explanations of how systems function. For instance, Netflix's transparency feature allows users to see why they are being recommended certain series or movies based on their previous likes and activity. And so overall, the network design principles try to help designers to ensure that modular digital services are scalable, efficient, available, and transparent, and thereby achieve long-term sustainability and reliability. At its core, modular architecture is characterized by standardized interfaces between different components. However, in today's digitalized and cybernized world, modularity alone is not enough to support the growing complexity of digital-enabled services. So to better manage both digital and physical components, the layered digital service architecture approach structures digital services into four distinct layers, each responsible for a specific function within the system. There's the content layer, the service layer, the network layer, and the device layer. Whereas the content layer is where all digital data, such as text, images, and videos, are created, stored, and shared, the service layer is about the technical application and its functionality. The service layer allows users to create, manipulate, store, and consume digital content, providing useful services and co-creating value with users. The network layer, in turn, is responsible for transporting and transmitting data between different parts of the digital service. It consists of two main components: the physical transport layer, which includes wire and wireless networks such as fiber optic cables, 5 or 6G networks, and Wi-Fi, and the logical transmission layer, which includes protocols that enable data to be sent and received reliably over the internet. And finally, the device layer represents the physical devices and hardware that enable digital services to function. This includes smartphones, laptops, tablets, IoT devices, and even smart home assistants like Alexa, for instance. As new devices and technologies emerge, this technical layer evolves to support new forms of digital interaction, from wearable fitness trackers to autonomous vehicles and so forth. Furthermore, as firms increasingly embed digital components into physical products, a new architectural model, the layered modular architecture, provides a hybrid approach combining the modularity and the layered approaches in the architectural approach. And this layered modular digital service architecture adds a level of generativity. And that means the ability of the system to continuously evolve and support new functions without having to sort of redesign the entire system when changes are needed. Take again the state of the art electric vehicles as an example. Traditionally, cars were built utilizing modular architectures where different mechanical components, such as the engine, the transmission, and braking system, those were all developed as separate physical modules. However, with the introduction of heavily software-driven capabilities, modern electric vehicles can now operate within a layered modular architecture where the device layer consists of the car's physical components like the battery, sensors, and cameras. The network layer connects the vehicle to the cloud, enabling over-the-air software updates and real-time navigation. The service layer would then also empower autonomous driving, the battery management, and the in-car entertainment systems. And the content layer delivers the navigation data, the real-time driving analytics, and the content of the entertainment to enhance the user experience. This hybrid model approach to the digital service architecture creates a continuous link between modularity and layers of the electric vehicles system architecture, adding the ability to continuously support and deploy new functions without having to redesign the entire system. However, as digital services grow in functional and use complexity, platforms must move beyond these traditional architectures, such as the microservices approach, which is the last architecture approach type that we discussed in today's lecture. So, unlike monolithic platforms, which bundle all functions into a single system, microservices essentially break services into smaller, independent units, making them even more flexible, scalable, and resilient. The microservices approach is transformative to digital services architectures as it sort of enables organizations to build and scale complex software applications even more efficiently. So microservices represent a design paradigm where a large application is decomposed into smaller independent services, and each of these are responsible for a specific functionality. Unlike traditional monolithic architectures, microservices operate autonomously and communicate with each other through well-defined interfaces. And this modularity allows for greater flexibility, scalability, and ease of maintenance. For instance, Netflix provides a nice case of the adoption of microservices. In its early days, the company operated on a monolithic architecture, which was sufficient when the user base was relatively small. However, as the platform popularity surged, this architecture became a bottleneck, leading to challenges in terms of scalability, deployment, and flexibility. The monolithic system struggled to handle the increasing load, and updating any part of the application required redeploying the entire system at the same time. And that increased the risk of introducing bugs and causing downtime, of course. The tightly coupled nature of the monolith architecture therefore made it challenging to implement new features and technologies altogether. So over time, Netflix transitioned from 100 engineers producing a monolithic DVD rental application into this microservices architecture, which involved breaking down the system into numerous independent services and development teams, each handling a specific function such as user authentication, movie recommendations, and streaming. So here's what the Netflix microservices architecture looks like. Instead of separate miniatures for different functionalities of the company, like UX, development, of quality insurance, each small functionality of the service is produced by loosely coupled teams, which have some sort of autonomy in the design, development, and deployment processes. And so this transformation helped in enhancing the system's scalability. The individual services could be scaled independently based on demand, ensuring this optimal resource utilization. At the same time, the isolation of services improved the system's resilience, as a failure in one component was less likely to impact the entire system. Furthermore, the development teams could deploy updates to specific services without affecting the whole application. This obviously accelerated the release of new features and bug fixes. For instance, Netflix's recommendation engine now operates as a separate microservice. This means that it separately processes the user data and viewing history to provide personalized content suggestions. And so if the recommendation service encounters an issue, fixing it doesn't disrupt the streaming service, which ensures that users can continue watching content uninterrupted. Therefore, as illustrated in that example, the microservices architecture offers a great framework for building scalable and resilient applications by decoupling functionalities into these independent yet interconnected microservices. Organizations can achieve greater agility and reliability. And again, this approach is particularly useful in managing these complex, large-scale applications, such as these digital platform ecosystems and other large-scale digital services. So the architectural choices service designers and software architects collaboratively make, these play a critical role in ensuring flexibility, adaptability, and sustainability, whether through modular service design, layered modular digital service architectures, or microservices. When talking about platforms and large-scale services, the goal always remains to create digital services that can seamlessly integrate, evolve, and respond to user needs. And by leveraging an appropriate architectural framework, organizations can build scalable, resilient, and user-centered digital experiences, serving as a foundation for innovation and continuous improvement.